All right, bro.
Banjani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University, Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. I taught at Cal State Long Beach for 34 years in the Department of Black Studies, and taught at Compton College, where I taught psychology, history, and ethnic studies. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner, and we want to also introduce, when you come on, historian Joe Hembrick. Historian Joe Hembrick is a longtime educator and administrator in the Compton and Linwood Unified School District school districts. He's with the first Black head coach for the Linwood Unified School District. And at the same time, he's always trying to do his best to uplift the consciousness of everyone that he runs into or that he teach or be a part of them or have experiences with. So we were going to get started tonight on Conscious Corner. We want to thank Rasha Key, formerly Gomorrah strategies to bring forth the Community Education Network and sponsor Conscious Corner on his platform. And we deeply appreciate him for that. So we can share. We want to welcome all the guests. Tell you, Asante Sana, thank you for tuning in. Brother Mashinda, and who else, Rashiki?
Sister Shabazz.
And Sister Making It Happen, Shabazz. We have a lot to talk about this evening. We're coming to the end of the year. We got Kwanzaa, as well as other holiday seasons, as well as we're celebrating our annual year-closing activities here at the Conscious Corner and Community Education Network. Now, before we get started, we always start off talking about frontline activities of Black progress and Black excellence, as well as our good news. That's very important. People don't think that's important. There's so much negativity out there about Black people throughout the years, throughout our history, that have driven many, some of them, to the point where they just don't care about anything sometimes. And they just sometimes it's just depressing. So we look for uplifting information that we share on the air so that whoever listening can take that back to their community, their homes, and say, did you know this? Did you know that? Did you know this? And did you know that? You know, and we commend the Black people that are out there struggling on our behalf to try to bring forth our liberation, same time, bring forth a sense of love. Black consciousness is not hating white people, it's loving Black people. Carter G. Woodson did all his work just to teach Black people to love themselves and to appreciate their accomplishments and their achievements. And whoever has studied this material will see that African Americans or Black Africans in America have contributed so much in the area of history and continues to do things. So, Rashiki, I can't see the name, so you can start asking, is there any good news from whoever's tuned in?
Okay, Sister Make It Happen.
Greetings, family. Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, Alafia, and all the greetings of the diaspora. Peace and blessings. So, good news. Well, the good news is we're here. That's some good news. I'm happy to see all y'all shiny, beautiful eyes.
Yeah,
So mine, since I'm talking about shiny, beautiful eyes, so you can see my shiny, beautiful eyes. Good to see y'all. Some more good news is I was able to really connect with Sister Linda from the forum here, and so she and I have begun to talk as sister friends, and that's been really exciting. And then she sent me over to Queen Amina, who is over in Leimert Park. So I got a chance to see Queen Amina, and that was beautiful. And I took my children over to her shop, and my children got to see all of the beautiful garbs and clothing and just the different artifacts that she has from different parts of Africa. So it was really beautiful to get a chance to see Queen Amina again. I know she was on the show, but to really kind of connect with her on a sister friend level. So that was good. And then across the street from Sister Amina, they have this place called Napoli Natural. And so I'm not sure if the family is aware of this place in Leimert Park again, but they have bulk herbs, all kinds of wellness products. And it's beautiful because in the past, we've had to go to places like Santa Monica or the other side of town, West LA, to find the medicine, the herbs, all the wellness products that we could do to take care of ourselves and to learn how to use the medicine around us. So I am glad to have met Sister Sharon from Napoli Natural in Leimert Park. And then lastly, while I was there visiting, I ran into some friends and they were having a Mutulu Shakur benefit concert, which I was so happy to run across that. And that happened on Saturday in Leimert Park. So there's a lot of good things happening in the community and for the family. And I'm thankful for this forum where I could share some of the good news. And I hope everyone is having a good evening. I look forward to hearing the rest of the good news in the family.
Thank you. Asante Sana for that, sister, making it happen. And we deeply appreciate you going out into the community, especially to what we call the Black Oasis, called Leimert Park, and meeting the vendors. And when you go again, get their cards so we can put them on our website and recommend them people to go to their shops, because we got to get Black people into their culture. Practicing cultural activities and buying things. And even, some people come to you and say, "Man, where can I get a African dashiki, can I get African corn rolls? Or do they have any herbs? Do they have any special meals? Or where are the concerts and the rallies?" And Leimert Park has always been an oasis for that. So we say asante to you for going out and meeting Sister Mina and doing the things that you're doing, sister, making it happen. All right, Rashiki, next person.
Okay, Brother Mashinda.
Yeah, good evening. Appreciate that sister make it happen. Hearing that was very enlightening and positive. And all the other folks that's on the call tonight, it's been a good run that we've been on these podcasts. And I say let's keep it going as long as we can. Just real brief. I think I reported to you maybe a week or two ago that we had elections here where I'm at, a little small town, where big around Deacons of Defense and Justice, one of the strongholds, and that type of thing during the 60s and that type of thing, and a lot of history here. But anyway, for the first time, so of course I told you that it was a 23-year-old Black male who brother that won the election, first brother to be the mayor of the city, and they had a Black mayor, I mean a president of the council at one time, but they never had a majority. It's always, I'm sure everybody on the call understands what the majority, the impact that if you have people caucusing with one another and coming to a happy medium and maybe can get some things done. Well, for the first time in the history This town's been here since 1906, and it's a history that's filled with good and bad. Of course, I always report that at some point in time, per capita, pound for pound, had more Klansmen here than anywhere in the world. And again, I'll leave it at that. That was the bad. And so time has evolved, and we're still growing and still struggling. But we have four women. Saturday we had an election, and I know all four women that's been elected. And the last election was a council at large positions. Two of them, one of my niece won, and another family member won those elections. And so they become the majority. Co-worker of mine is also a councilwoman, and then another dear friend of mine, she makes the fourth. And so with the brother, that's the mayor, for the first time in history, you have a majority here. And so I look forward to positive things happening here. And it's a microcosm. It's a black, it's a predominantly black city now, because the whites have moved out to the out of the city limits. We all familiar with white flight. And again, people move wherever they want to move. So we trying to move forward here, and trying to make it happen, sister. So other than that, that's something positive, I think. And we'll keep it going. And if I think of something else, I'll report it.
Asante Sana, Mashinda. What was that mayor's name? You say he was 23.
Name is Tyron Trong. He has a Vietnamese last name. I believe his grandfather's Vietnamese. And
Got
so so it's Trong, Trong, Trong. And
it.
but he's a brother. Yeah, it's no, don't make no mistakes about it. I mean, we know you have a drop, you're a brother, but no, this is a brother, and he's serious as a heart attack. Graduated from Washington University in St. Louis, Missouri. And a student body president there with 15,000 students. And he's just, he's just one of them upcoming stars. You may hear about him one day, you know.
Yeah, example of black achievement and black excellence. But what's the name of the town? That
Bogalusa, Louisiana.
Bogalusa.
Yeah, if you look up Bogalusa, they got all kind of stories. Bloody Bogalusa, 1919, rebellions and things like the interesting history. This is a rich history, in Bogalusa. Deacons of Defense, Bloody Bogalusa, 1919, about the paper mill. Didn't want to hire blacks. They had a union. Anyway, I won't, like I say, it's. Check out Bogalusa history. Just look up Bloody Bogalusa. Look up Tyron Trong. Look up just, Deacons of Defense, and a lot of history here.
All right. Brother, who else brought the key?
Me.
Go ahead, brother.
Okay, so now, Brother Mashinda, hey, can we get some of these people on the shows here? We want to highlight them. So can you work
Well,
on that?
I can always work on it. I can always
Yeah.
work on that. I don't think, to a certain degree, you know what I mean? Like I say, I got my own thing going, but I will work on that. How about that?
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Okay.
this is your thing too, so.
No, no, I understand that. I don't need no qualification. I don't need no qualifications, young man. I'm just, I'm, but look, it, like I say, you know how I work, and we'll leave it at that.
Okay, so now, I was privy to listen to the Carl Nelson show with Neely Fuller and Professor James Smalls, and it was a very inspirational show. Brother Smalls did an excellent job, and I want to share this with everybody. So I'm about to share the screen, and I encourage everybody to hear this because it gave me some ideas for our platform, and it's excellent. I really encourage you guys to listen to it. So here it is. If you go to the Carl Nelson Show, the archives. And you pull up, it's probably about the fourth show down. So let me go ahead and show people how to get to it. So if you put the Carl Nelson show and then you have what comes up, and this is through Google, is the Carl Nelson Show archive. Click on that. Then you get the Carl Nelson Show. And you just scroll down. And here it is. It's the one, two, three, four, fifth show down. Okay. Computer is not moving fast, but click on that and it automatically comes up right here. Well, my computer is moving real slow here. Let me see. So let me click on it. Oh, it's right here. And you just play it. And Professor James Smalls talked about the meaning of a Hebrew Israelite. He identified who are the Hebrew Israelites. He talked about that. He talked about voting and the political process. And it was just the information was beautiful. So I encourage everybody to listen to it. Even Neely Fuller comes on at about the hour and 30-minute mark. And he, Neely Fuller always do a great job. But Carl Nelson, I mean, very excellent show. I can't say enough about it. And I'm gonna listen to it again because I want to take some notes. So that was something good that I listened to this weekend. I encourage everybody to do the same. All right, Professor Rock. You know what? We just had Linda come on, Rock. Professor Rock.
Oh, yes, good evening.
Professor Rod, did you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sister Linda's here, so she can tell us about some good news.
Well, good evening, everybody. I didn't have any real good news up except that we all living and loving life.
All right. Well, we'll get back to you and deeply appreciate it. Asante Sana Rachiki for bringing up Carl Nelson. Carl Nelson used to be at KJLH. He was there before Dominique Dupree, and he done a lot of good work in the community. Matter of fact, I was on his show a number of times, and I was on his podcast that Rachiki just had and just talked, asked us to look in the archives. Brother Carl Nelson is well known and well respected for his hard work and his contribution to having an Afrocentric perspective of us as a people and what's going on in the community. So we deeply appreciate you recommending him. The other thing is Neely Fuller, Dr. Francis Cresswell seen. Give credit to Neely Fuller for giving her the concept of her theories on racism when he told her that racism was a global dynamic on nine different areas. And Neely Fuller wrote the book, Color Code, where he said how you deal with racism. And he's an excellent author, excellent speaker, and had a lot of consciousness. So we thank you for bringing Neely Fuller to us, Brother Roger Key. That's very important that we keep up with people that's doing good things like him. And we deeply appreciate you bringing up Neely Fuller and bringing up Brother Carl Nelson's show. And hopefully that a lot of our listeners will listen to his show. It's a radio show. And also Travis Smiley is on it. And I think Dom, no, Travis Simon started his own show, rock podcast. But anyway, that's good. I got a few things I just want to bring to our attention about what I consider to be frontline information and good news. Frontline information is, first of all, Sister Brittany Griner is home. That was a struggle. That was a serious struggle. And people don't realize how hard it is to get people out of captivity for unjust things, and especially in Russia, in the midst of the war. So we say a salute to all the girl, the WNBA, the women of the WNBA, for keeping her name alive, and at the same time, keeping pressure on Biden and and we think, I won't do it. And history has taught us that you got to make people do the right thing. You either reward them for doing right, or you sort of just push them into that activity. And so we want to say thank you for Brittany getting out of Russia's prison. She's there. She's home with her wife. They said she started back playing basketball. She cut her hair because she said that when she took a shower, it was so cold that the tips of her hair would freeze and it would be problematic for her. And that's why she cut her hair. But we want to thank Brittany for being strong. And she's going to have a, as soon as she gets acclimated, you know, what they do is when you've been in captivity for a long time, and you go to the hospital before you go home, or military hospital, what they call reprogram you. That's what happened to the captives of Iran. They had to reprogram them because some of them were there for years and they converted to Islam. They start talking about America was wrong for what it was doing to Iran. And so they had to reprogram them. Second, they want to check them and make sure they didn't plant no listening devices on them or see where their mindset is. Because, you know, she may come back and start saying the Russians right. You know, America shouldn't be over there in Ukraine, you know. So they want to do all that before they let her go back into the public. Second, we want to congratulate a major victory. Brother Raphael Warnock out of Georgia, winning his Senate seat for 6 years. It wasn't easy against Herschel Walker and the white right-wing power brokers. That was just a fantastic victory, a national victory, because it gave the Democrats more power in the Senate. They lost the Congress by a little bit, but at the same time, they can block whatever Congress do. And challenge Congress by having control of the Senate. And with 51 senators, but it's really, they only have 48 Democrats. Then they got three, what they call independents.
Excuse me, Professor Rob.
Yeah.
I was listening to something in the news where one of the senators turned independent. Will that affect anything?
No. She was already operating at a primary in Arizona. I think her name is Seneca or something. And she just turned independent, like Bernie Sanders. He said he's a Democratic socialist. He's not a Democrat party. And then there's another guy from Iowa. So they count him as Democrats unofficially, and they vote with the Democrats. That's when they say they caucus with them. They vote. Even this world is a big thing. The brown, you know, she's against getting rid of the filibuster. She's against voting for the voting rights bill. She's against a lot of the things, but 93% of the time she vote with Biden. So, you know, you're going to have that diversity and that conflict. It's just rough, you know. And so, but still, it doesn't affect. The other thing is, so we look at Warnock, who defeated Herschel Walker, and it was a Trump nominee. That's big, because Georgia's a red state. They can be talking about it's a battleground, going to be purple. It's not. You see how far Tracy Abrams lost by 100,000 votes. But they credit her with contributing to Warnock's victory by putting such a voter registration drive and a political education drive that got people out. They started a year ago preparing. So we thank Stacey Abrams for her frontline action. Third, we want to thank Karen Bass. Karen Bass defeated a guy that spent over $108 million. Character assassinated her. She's the first Black woman mayor, and she's the first person that got more votes. She set history by getting more votes than any mayor that ran for office in Los Angeles. The progressive, one of the first things she's going to do with the homeless, which is good. She was sworn in by Harris, the vice president, Kamala Harris, who was the first Black woman to be elected vice president. Well, she, along with Biden, to be vice president. She's second in line to be president. If he fall dead, have a heart attack, she's president. If he become incapacitated, she's president. Yeah, so we thank that for the political line. We also thank Hakeem Jeffries, who is the minority leader of the Democrats in Congress. Nancy Pelosi was the leader when they had the majority. He's what they call the minority leader. In other words, he'd be dealing with Black people, but the whole Democratic Party. He's in line to be, if they ever get the majority, head of the party. He raised money, said where the money should go. He does a lot of key things. So, and he's the nephew to Dr. Leonard Jeffries, one of the most conscious Black persons. He's a professor at New York University. And he's one of the most conscious Black persons. If you ever hear him lecture, he's Malcolm returned. So we love that, brother Hakeem Jeffries. In his move. Second, we always got to think about Martin Luther King. When he said, the moral arc of the universe is long, but it's always been toward justice. Them that are last will be first. You notice that when Warnock said, my mother picked cotton and tobacco for years. And now she picked her son to be a United States senator. That don't seem like a profound statement, but think where we have come from. People that were denied the right to an education. Now we got Black people that are some of the greatest intellectuals in this country. We were Black people that couldn't vote. We couldn't. Now we are helping the Democrats have power in the Senate, and we do in the Euro-American politics. There's a lot into this. And so we have to thank them for being a part of that machine. I mean, this is some beautiful stuff that we're doing. Also, I want to thank Kyrie, the basketball player, for going to Sister Clara Muhammad's school and giving them $60,000. He went there to visit. Sister Clara Muhammad is the oldest independent school, Black independent school in New York. And he just went over there and wrote a check for 60 grand. That's beautiful. Now, as Mashinda was talking about the 23-year-old that was elected in Bukalusa, Louisiana, there's an 18-year-old that was elected in Earl, Arkansas, a town of 2,000. This brother, 18, he just finished high school. He was the student body president of high school. And he said he's going to help build this town up. He's going to deal with the boarded up houses. He's going to deal with the homeless. He's going to deal with all the critical issues. And they 2,000 people in the town. But it's a significant thing, as Mashinda pointed out. You know, these are a major accomplishment for young people. But at the same time, you got to remember, it was a time when Black people couldn't hold office. The white right wing and Democrats at that time. So we got
Professor
to
Rob.
Look at that.
Professor yeah. Rob. You have went out. Can you repeat what you just said?
Where would I go out at?
When you just talk about the young guy from...
Yeah, his name was Jay Smith, and it's Earl, Arkansas. Okay. 2,000 people there, and he got to be mayor. I think there was about 500 people voted, but he got the most votes. And this is a beautiful thing for 18-year-old to have that drive and have that vision of what he sees for the city. Get dealing with the homeless, fixing up boarded homes, bringing businesses to the town. I mean, he has a lot of grandiose vision. But we got to thank him for those achievements and things of this nature. So these are beautiful. Beautiful accomplishments and achievements of Black people in the Euro-American system and in the Black consciousness. They've set examples, role models, as well as role models to emulate for other young people. We like all our kids to be politically conscious and active, both in Euro-American politics and in Black politics. We're part of two political systems. We're part of the Euro-American political system, and we're part of our own political system. With regards within ourselves, we choose our community leaders based on their civic activities and organizations and service programs that they build and that they contribute to. So we want to thank all those achievements from that. There was a young lady who raised $10 million to start her tropical skincare business. She made Forbes magazine for raising $10 million to get her program. She is 26 years old and deal with organic sort of skin treatment. And the investors came and she started it. She had skin problems herself. Then all of a sudden she started this and she got investors. I think Jay-Z even invested in it. And she raised $10 million and they're recognizing her for that. So any questions anybody have?
Brother Joe is here.
Who?
Brother Hembrick.
Oh, Brother Hembrick. Well, let's see if he have any good news that he wants to share. Y'all talking them politics, I leave that alone. No questions.
No, you can talk about anything.
No, I'm good.
Okay, that's a good thing. Anything else, Roshiki? I've got to talk about, well, we're getting ready to go into Kwanzaa. And that's a good thing. Because a lot of people don't even know what Kwanzaa is about. I've been working with Dr. Karenga for about 43 years. And there's a lot of people saying he didn't create it. But see, I was there in the 60s. I was there. I got arrested for participating in the Watts Rebellion. But I met with a lot of the organizations. I was a part of a group called Young Men for Total Democracy. But we were all a part of the Black Congress. And during the 1960s, we had two movements, Black liberation movements, the civil rights and the Black Power. Dr. Karenga was part of the Black Power. Adam Clayton Powell sponsored the first Black Power a meeting. Stokely Carmichael and Willie Ricks popularized the term Black Power during the March Against Fear when they shot Medgar Evers. And they were marching along with Martin Luther King. And then they decided that we're not here for equal rights and civil rights. We're here for Black Power. And that was Willie Ricks and Stokely Carmichael at that time, who now is Kwame Ture, and may the best good he brought in the world last forever as he transcended to become an ancestor. But still, Dr. Karenga, when we meet at the Black Congress, the Black Panthers wanted money for self-defense and community activities, their 10-point program. The civil rights organizations wanted money for the rights, and they thought we should talk about education rights and things of that nature. But the Black Dr. Karenga argued then for culture. And we had a movement in the 60s. That's when almost all the Black organizations reached a height. The Nation of Islam, the NAACP, they started CORE, Congress of Racial Equality, they started OIC, they started, all Black organizations were flourishing during the 60s after the Watts Rebellion. And Dr. Karenga started what was called the culture. He wasn't a doctor then, and his name wasn't Maulana at that time. But I re remember when they said, I was at Compton College when they came to, we started the first BSU at Compton College, and they came and they was talking about they wanted to start a Black holiday. This is in the midst of the 60s. I said, what? And most Black people said, well, yeah, okay. And he was talking about Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa grew out of the Kawita philosophy, and it's about seven principles. It's about seven principles. And this is not a place for Black Christmas, take the place of Black Christmas, because it starts on the 26th, and it's for 7 days. It's one of the only organizations that you celebrate, like we'll celebrate 6 days in 22, from December 26th to January 30th. And then we'll celebrate the last day on January 1st in 2023. And that's when you have a day of meditation. But the Kwanzaa is a very unique holiday because it's about Black people celebrating themselves. They didn't demonstrate. And because when they said they wanted to start a Black holiday, a lot of people supported it at that time. It sort of died off when the Panthers and the US organization had conflict. And then they put Dr. Karenga in prison on trumped up charges. And then Merv Dimony helped get him out. and then get his sentence commuted shorter. And he came out. And he taught Holly Mitchell, who's a county supervisor at UC Riverside. And we hired him at Cal State Long Beach. And he rebuilt the when he got out, he started having meetings. And he rebuilt his organization. And he's doing a great job with regards to that. And so then, this man, let me get this battery thing together. But he started Kwanzaa. There's no doubt. See, most people don't know. Kwanzaa is only supposed to have one A at the end. But they put two A's in because they was having a children program and they had seven children. And so therefore they said, we'll add an A. And that's why they have, and now everybody spelled it with two A's to celebrate. Kwanzaa. But in Swahili, it's only one A. And it's a Pan-African holiday. I mean, it's universal for Black people all over the world, and it's celebrated all over the world. It's even celebrated in Japan, China, Australia. They have some of the biggest Kwanzaa celebrations abroad. It was just an excellent thing. And so, but it comes out of Kawita philosophy, which is the best of thought and practices of Black people. And an ongoing consensus with constant exchange with the world. It takes the best of us, the best teachings that come from Du Bois, come from Queen Mother Moore, come from Martin Luther King, come from Malcolm. The best of their thoughts and their practices is a part of the Kwanzaa celebration. So there's seven principles that came out of the Kawita philosophy. And this would come out of that that is being used all over. People use these and popularized using Swahili names, Dr. Karenga did. They speak it fluently, Swahili fluently, and Hausa, a South African language, and speak Spanish as well as he's just an intellectual person that really studies. His philosophy is that show me a revolutionary and I'll show you someone that studies. So anyway, there's seven principles that we celebrate about Kwanzaa. The first one is umoja. And it goes like, we strive for and maintain unity in the family, community, nation, and race. Strive toward it, struggle toward it. It's not easy. That's a beautiful thing for people to want to deal with, trying to unify their family, trying to unify their people. It's not easy. People fight against coming into structures, and so anyway, so that's the first principle. The second principle is Kujichagulia, self-determination. To define ourselves, name ourselves, create for ourselves, and speak for ourselves. One of the first signs of freedom and liberation is naming yourself. When Rhodesia got free, it named itself Zimbabwe. South Africa, right now, it's still called South Africa, but the real name is Azania, that Black people changed it to. These are struggling. I mean, you know, it represents your freedom to name yourself. Animals and slaves are named by their masters. Free people name themselves. To be self-determined, to define ourselves, we define who we are. Caucasians or nobody else can be our teacher. We must be our own teachers. And that's what Joe Hembrick, he goes out and he researched our history. He tells us our culture and our value system. So that's a very critical thing. The other thing is create for ourselves. Yeah, I mean, we have to do that. You know, look out for businesses and health issues and all those things. We try to create things for ourselves. And that's Kujichakonia, which means self-determination. Umoja means unity. Kujichakonia means self-determination. Ujima, collective work and responsibility. That's a hell of a principle. Teaching your family that you're a team, that you all work together. Teaching them, being an example for the community of a family working together. Hopefully that they will emulate. Everybody got duties and responsibility. And that's very important. So it's to build, maintain our community together, to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problem, and to solve them together. That's Ujima. That's a beautiful concept. I use it at my house. I tell my kid, hey, you know, we all in this together. You got to look out for each other. You understand? When I go to the door, look out the window, make sure I get to the car. You understand? And when I come home, be looking out the window, make sure I get in the house. If you're downstairs. I mean, you know, I had to teach them never fight another Black person. I grew up fighting Black people because I wasn't conscious. But none of my kids ever had a fight in school. He said, you have a problem, you let me know. But don't fight, don't bully. You know, love your people, respect them. You understand? Don't criticize people. Don't talk, call them names. Don't give them nicknames like Pookie and Punk Punk and Dee Dee. Call them by their right name. I had to teach my kids that. Now if the cat say, hey, no, I want to be known as Burger King. I want to be known as Fats. I want to be known as Hot Mama. Well, if they want that, hey, give it to them. You understand? Don't fight with them about it. You understand? Maybe you can educate them later. The other one is Ujamaa, cooperative economics, to build and maintain our own stores, shops, and other businesses, and to profit from them together. Sister making it happen did that today. She went up there at the suggestion of Sister Linda, who was networking, said, hey, look, go by and meet Sister Amina. She got a shop in the Murray Park. What is Sister making it happen? Say, I took my family. They had African God, nice things. I mean, that's beautiful. You understand? That's us working together. You know, everybody say, buy Black and all that, but they don't teach you how and to want to and change your cultural habits. You know, people used to call me the end with the dashiki. I just wear that thing. You know, I mean, it's what they call me, I swear. But anyway, that's important that we buy from that. And Brother Roger Key is always up at New Earth health food store, buying all that's a Black owned store. He could have went to GM, wherever that place is. GMC or GMG, whatever that is. But no, he goes to the Black store with Dr. Goss at that time. See, that's buying Black. You know, that's how we build our business. We change our clothes habits. We change our eating habits. And right, and eat African prepared food. Certain African restaurants and cuisines, you know, I mean, that's what we do. You understand? Beautiful places. Some of these African restaurants are Black soul food places. You understand? The other one is NIA, purpose. To make our collective vocation the building and development of our community. in order to restore our people to their traditional greatness. They have demonized Black communities so bad that Black people move away from them. And they find out where they win is just as bad. And so, you know, it's rough. They demonized us so much that we are at the point where I don't want to live by Black people. You understand me? I don't trust them all. They go through all those things. So we want to thank him for that principle. Near purpose. What is your purpose in life? To do good and bring good into the world. That's what your purpose in life is. To do good and bring good into the world. You understand? But that's a struggle. You got to struggle to do that. Because you're in a society where greed and envy is what drives a society. Vulgar capitalism. People lining up in stores on what they call Black Friday to run in there to buy a rag doll. Could you imagine people fighting over buying a doll? You understand? Or buying some stuffed animal or buying a big screen TV, like a stampede at some of these stores. They used to have police and security at malls and stuff before the pandemic. But anyway, that's a whole new different story. Y'all seen that. And then the sixth principle is Kaumba. I named my son after that. Creativity. To do always as much as we can in the way we can in order to leave our community more beautiful and more beneficial than we inherited. I mean, you know, just take care of the community. Take care of your problem. Take care of your house. Take care of the thing, making things beautiful. Keep taking care of your park. Don't let your kids go and hang out in gangs and getting high in the park and doing all that kind of stuff. And keep it and remind the people doing business in your community, they have a responsibility to sell us good product, good food, good things for our health, and good things for our family. And those are the things that we did on the continent. Kwanzaa is part of an African tradition called the First Fruit, and then it's part of the Pan-African Black Power Movement here. He merged both of them together, and that's how it came up as a Pan-African holiday. The last principle, Imani, faith, to believe with all our hearts in our people, our parents, our teachers, our leaders, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. We ain't doing wrong struggling to be free, to be ourselves, struggling to be the best that we can be. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's the key to Kwanzaa. It starts on the December 26th and it goes to January 1st. It has nothing to do with Christmas. But at the same time, the European trying to say Kwanzaa trying to take the place of Christmas, turn people off. They never demonstrated and asked the government to recognize Kwanzaa, even though it went mainstream on some news broadcast and some people that recognized it in the mainstream, professional people, even President Obama and Clinton mentioned Kwanzaa as a holiday. With Hanukkah and with Christmas and with the holiday New Year, and included it as one of the weeks. It's a celebration. It's not really a holiday. Holiday means holy day. You understand? This concept of faith, Imani, faith, to believe in our hearts, in our people, be with all our hearts, in our people, our parents, in our teachers, our leaders, in the righteousness and victory of our struggle. That's a very important point. See, people don't know that Maulana grew up as a Christian. His mother and father, his father was a minister. You understand? And he had to go to church every day, all week. You understand? And he broke the monopoly of that. I know people don't want to get into how the European has abused Christianity as the instrument to enslave, indoctrinate, and to hustle people. There's some churches that do a great job in service, but you got to admit, many of them are just taking abuse of people and using Jesus as a justification for all kinds of stuff, and reading a verse in the Bible and going naming their church after it, the Little Rock of Bethlehem and all that type of stuff. And many of them are not even versed on who wrote the Bible, why they wrote the Bible, from a Christian standpoint or Islamic standpoint. You understand? Or a Jewish standpoint. And that's why when Rashi Key was saying that they were talking about the Israelites, they're talking about a brother, one of the brothers was from Compton. Yosef Ben Israelite took a delegation to Israel and declared that they were the original Jews. And Dr. Ben wrote it in his book about the Falasha, and that his father, one of his relatives, were the original black Jews at that time. They're not, the Jews that they're talking about today don't even practice Judaism. Killing Palestinians, claiming that God gave them this land and that they're the number one victims in the world, anti-Semitic, when Arabs are Semitic, it's a language. It's not a, and well, anyway, I don't want to talk about them. I want to talk about the beauty of Kwanzaa. It starts on the 26th with the unity. That's very important. People don't know that Kwanzaa has symbols that are very critical with regards to the celebration of it. And I'm going to go over that at our next meeting when it comes to that. Is there any questions about Kwanzaa or about anything that we discussed today?
No, Professor Ra, if I can speak, I'd like to just say thank you for giving us some background on Kwanzaa. You know, I am fortunate enough that I was, my parents are like you, so I'm like your children. I was fortunate enough to have my parents put the work down, and, you know, I was wise enough to carry the legacy. So in my family, we have a song, and it's called Kwanzaa is a Holiday. Kwanzaa is an African-American holiday. We have seven principles, seven candles, seven special days for the African. And so my children know that song. My granddaughter now knows that song. We do Kwanzaa every year, so much so that my two oldest children came back and said, you know, it's because of you guys, me and my husband, that, you know, we know so much about Kwanzaa. And so we have to make sure that our children know how to celebrate us, because we have so much to celebrate. The world definitely has demonized, you know, us, but we too must fight that image and continue to recognize our greatness and continue to shine bright like the diamonds we are. So thank you, Professor.
Yeah. People don't know, Kwanzaa is about the celebration of the seven principles. How you practice them year round, and then you make a commitment to continue, or recognize it at the end on the day of meditation. It's about studying. You give a gift, an educational gift, not a toy or a car or anything like that. That's books, African form of a present, may it be a statue, or may it be some other form of artifacts of African pictures or something like that is a gift. But anyway, I'm going to go over the whole Kwanzaa set the next time we meet and show you what candle you light first. And because you have what they call candle lighting on the 26th. On the 26th is you have candle lighting and you light the candle. And that's when you read the statement the annual statement by the founder, Dr. Karenga, and then you have people come and they participate in the candlelight. Now, can white people celebrate Kwanzaa? They can celebrate it with you, but they can't be a part of the celebration. I mean, you don't let them light candles, you don't let them make statements and things of this nature. This is a black holiday for black people, and that's very important. Now, you know, black people mad at white people and all that type of stuff. You can't go into a Jewish day celebrating Hanukkah asking, can you participate in things of this nature? No, you have to sit there and learn. And it's about celebrating black people. So when they ask you, can we celebrate Kwanzaa? You ask them, can you celebrate black people? Because that's what Kwanzaa is about, the celebration of black people. Asante. Go ahead, Rashiki. Any other issues? Any other questions?
No, I'm good. I'm good. Okay. I'm just enjoying the content, the education. And again, I want to mention that Carl Nelson show is very important. You hear me, Professor Rock?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very important that we people go check out that show because it's very inspirational with Carl Nelson and Professor James Smalls and Neely Fuller.
I have one more thing I'd like to share, if I could. Professor Rock, yeah,
I love that song.
Yeah, thank beautiful you. Song. Beautiful.
My E, I made that up so we can have something festive around that time of year to celebrate with the children. And E, I means mother. But I leave town around the holidays and I always am able to locate a Kwanzaa celebration no matter what city I go in. And that's the most beautiful thing that that the elders did, is by leaving something that has taken off. And it is giving us an opportunity, no matter where we are, to celebrate our greatness. And so that's beautiful, to travel any city you want to go to around Kwanzaa time, and you can find a huge community celebrating these principles. And that is a blessing. So thank you again.
That's important, too. And thank you for that, sister, making it happen. Because, you know, people that can't celebrate themselves is lost forever. I mean, you got to have days in which you enjoy and you sit back. And so on the sixth day is a karamu, and that's what they call a big feast. But I'll go over that the next time we together, Rasha Key. You want to? This is what I also want to say before we hang up, brothers and sisters. We've had a long year, and we want to thank Brother Rasha Key for all his efforts in keeping this program going. But I want to ask everyone, especially the people that tune in, let's be more supportive of the program. And that's why Rasha Key asked Mashinda if he knew people out there that would come on. And if you know other people that we should interview. Second, we have a budget. It's not that much, that we all need to start pitching in to take some of the costs away from Rasha Key doing it himself and spending. It's not much, you know, even if we just, in order to make leaflets and put them out and to be able to even expand our broadcast from just Zoom to Facebook or TikTok and go on them live when we have our show. We're going to look into that next year. So, I'm going to be a sustainer of the program, which we call sustainer. It's like, you know, at least $25 a month. And if you can't do but five, whatever we can do to contribute, and we'll get one of the people that's broadcast to work with Rasha Key and keeping the books open to show you what we spend it on and things of this nature. But we're not asking you to give up $300 or $400 or $100 or nothing. Just a little token of our appreciation of getting together. Because we consider all of you as family and all of you as a part of the show. And this is why we include questions and dialogue. This is not about us talking to you. It's about us talking to each other. And we know that the Conscience Corner, as Brother Joe said, and Brother Rasha Key Education Network, is not just our program, it's your program too. So we hopefully you would accept ownership and really help us build this program. We can expand and make it more beautiful and more expansive. People should be hearing what Sister Make It Happen and say. They should know about Linda's museum of contribution of Black people to better the lives of everyone. They should know about Rasha Key and the Conscious and the Education Network. They should know about Brother Hembrick and his historical narratives of our people, of who wrote the Bible, how, why it was written, and all the good things that he can tell you about the Nile River and the Nileitic people and the Shante and all of that that he independently studied. Those are things that we want to share with the people. You show me a revolutionary, I'll show you a people that study. And that's what the we say. All right, Rasha Key, you want to say what's going on next Wednesday?
Yes, we have our second year anniversary. We've been doing this actually over 2 years as far as coming on YouTube, interviewing people. And then we also started 2 years ago the CEN show. And then Professor Ross started in May with Conscious Corner. So in May, Professor Ross and Joe Hembrick in May will have their second year anniversary. And it's just, I think it's a beautiful thing that we take out time to engage in dialogue and bring forth education from the community. So it's a real good thing. And in my opinion, because everybody have their opinions about things, and we want to keep it going. So I just appreciate everybody coming out. So we doing 2 years of the CEN show on next Wednesday. We've got educator Ronnie Roberts as our guest. And then also we'll be talking about things that we've been doing for the past 2 years. So I appreciate everybody. Professor Ra.
Thank you.
All right. We're gonna go over the Kwanzaa symbols next meeting and whatever critical issues that we're struggling every day. We're in struggle every day. Some people know it, some people don't. That's okay. But we'll be talking about that as we wind up the year. And it'll be a day of celebration and good discussion the next meeting.
All right. Well, Conscious Corner and each one teach one. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.
Have a good evening. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much, family.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a good evening, everyone, and the rest of the week.
All right, Lynn.